Please take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 18. John chapter 18 this morning. When my life began, we have such a wonderful opportunity this morning to rehearse these wonderful truths through song and have them confirmed by God's own word. We live in a day that people do not hold to truth. In fact, they like to come up with their own version of truth. But in this passage of Scripture, Jesus makes it very clear that there is absolute truth, and it is found in Him. If you would look in the text, in verse 37, John 18, 37, therefore Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." And Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." But Peter said to him, "What is truth?" We have an occasion here right before Jesus was put to death in the latter stages of his trial, so to speak. Verse 33 talks about this man, Pilate. Pilate was one of the leaders of the day, and they brought Jesus, it says in verse 33. Pilate entered again into the praetorium. The praetorium was kind of the central command of the Roman army. And they summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" And Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Therefore, Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." And Jesus said, "You say correctly that I am a king." So Jesus here is, again, right in the final stages before they will sentence him to death. And we have this ruler who does not understand who he is. He's trying to figure out what's going on. Jesus is from the Jews, but yet his own people are saying that he is a criminal, that he should be put to death. And so he's trying to weigh all the different perspectives, and he's asking Jesus to once again testify as to who he is and why he is there. If he was to say that he was a king, well, that would be a problem for the Romans, because there would be no, you know, there shouldn't be any other authority that would take authority away from them. So Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. I have not come for a political revolution. I'm not trying to breed unrest. That is not my purpose." He says, in fact, his purpose there in verse 37, "For I have been born, and this is why I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. And everyone who hears the truth, they will believe." And so we have this occasion in Jesus' life where he testifies of his purpose. He says, "I am here for the truth." And so I just want to clarify for anyone who may be here this morning or even listening online. The day in which we live, people say there is no truth, or the truth is found in all kinds of ways, and you got to figure it out yourself. Well, from Jesus' own words, I want to just make sure that we understand the assurance of truth. Jesus specifically said, "I have come into the world to testify to the truth." There's a definite article before truth. There is such a thing as absolute truth. That is reality. In 2020, we can stand firm on the truth. There was a survey taken just last year. It came out in May of last year. 4 out of every 10 people, we're talking about adults, will either gather their truth from inner certainty, that would be a group of 16%. Inner certainty, 15% would derive their truth from scientific proof. 5% would derive their truth from tradition. 4% would get their truth from public consensus. We live in a day where people do not understand the concept of truth. Even those who are 30 and younger, the numbers get worse and worse. Two of every 10 adults say there is no such thing as absolute truth. And they will not hold that there is a basis for any kind of moral decisions in regards to truth. Jesus, though, is saying, I was born for this purpose, to testify that there is truth. So as we think about this idea of truth, I want to just kind of walk through what it's not. Truth is not simply whatever works. We live in a day of pragmatism. People will say the end justifies the means. But in reality, a lie can actually work. That doesn't make it true. And so we live in a day where people will try to go along with these lines, whatever works. That's what truth is for me. Truth is not simply what is understandable. A group of people can get together, they can form some sort of idea, even a conspiracy, and a set of falsehoods, and they can get a group of people to agree, but it still makes it a false story. It doesn't make the presentation true. And in the last year, we have seen all kinds of conspiracy theories. We cannot hold to that idea of truth. Truth is not what makes people feel good. Unfortunately, sometimes truth comes in the way of bad news. Truth is not what the majority says is true. 51% of the people can come to a wrong conclusion. Truth is not comprehensive. A lengthy, detailed presentation can still result in false conclusions. It's not the amount of material that we need. Truth is not defined by what is intended. Good intentions can be very, very wrong. Truth is not simply what is believed. Once again, a lie can still be believed. So today, this is kind of the perspective that we live in our culture, where people try to figure out what's right from all the wrong places. And we see in the scripture, specifically this text this morning, that truth is found in Jesus Christ. I was born, he says, for this purpose, to testify to the truth. Truth is actually found in God. That is where truth comes from. The scripture is very clear in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Truth begins with God. We must hold to that and stand firm upon it. God is truth. That's what it tells us in the Bible in Psalm 31, verse 5. Into your hand I entrust my spirit. You have redeemed me, Lord, God of truth. Our God is a God of truth. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus Christ is the truth. The scripture also speaks to the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of truth in John chapter 14. Ephesians 4:21, if you have indeed heard these things and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus. We find truth in God. That is our source of truth. Truth is everything that consists in the mind of God. We also understand that truth is absolute. This would be different than the voices of today. But again, in this passage of Scripture, there is a definite article before the word truth. There is one truth, the truth. It is exclusive, and it is discriminating. And yes, I will say that. We have to hold to the Scripture. It is not subjective. It does not change based on how we feel or what others think. It is completely objective. Truth is not made up of feelings. It is made up of facts sourced in our wonderful God. It is propositional. The Bible is described as the Word of Truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. We have one body of truth that comes from our one God, and we as believers must hold to it, and we must proclaim it. It is the remedy for life. We come into this world separated from God, dead in our trespasses and sins. And it is the truth that points us to God, how that problem can be remedied. Truth is also something that never changes. Again, we live in a day, in a culture where people would say, truth can change. It cannot change. It's absolute. It stays the same. Psalm 119, verse 89 says that your word, O God, is forever settled in heaven. It is settled. It is complete. Isaiah 40, 6 through 8 says, the grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. If I were to take you today to the land of Israel, and we were to open our Bibles, and we were to, starting in Genesis, and work through our way all the way to Revelation, and we were to go from place to place, opening our Bibles and pointing, and seeing all the evidence, and there is so much evidence that this book right here is true. The archaeological finds confirm over and over and over what is said in this book. There is truth. And if I were to take you there and say that, it would still not be enough, because God has to work in our lives through the truth. Many people visit the land of Israel, and they see, and they hear. But it is God who works in our lives, and a person must come to the point where they will submit to the truth. They will obey the word of truth. The truth never changes. It is always current. It is current today in 2021 as it was 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross and he rose again. It never goes out of date. It is always contemporary. And truth is powerful. The Word of God, it is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces through the soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and it discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And the truth, the scripture says, when you know it, it will set you free. And as a child of God this morning, if you're here and you have come, encountered the truth of the Word of God that is found in our God, and you have obeyed the truth, where it means that you have submitted your life to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and what is that? That you have acknowledged your sinfulness before a holy God, and you have repented of that sinfulness, and you have looked to Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as your Savior. If you have experienced that transformation and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you understand how powerful truth is. It can change the hardest of hearts. The truth of the Bible can set us free. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is inspired by God, all of it. And it's profitable to teach us what is wrong, for reproof. It teaches us how to get right, for correction. It tells us how to grow, for training in righteousness. The word of God, it is powerful. It can change. It is the ultimate standard. So you can be assured this morning that there is truth. That is what Jesus said. It's for this purpose that I have come. But then if you'll continue in verse 37 there, to testify to the truth, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Notice the acceptance of truth. And this is very, very important. When someone comes to the truth and they hear the voice of God. As Elaine was speaking, I was reminded as she was saying that she could understand that God was bringing her to that point. when the voice of God speaks to our lives, Jesus, the incarnate truth, we are changed. We are brought from death to life. And everyone who hears the voice of truth will be saved. So there are those, and there's many here who have joined me, brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, who have joined me in this wonderful song of our Savior, our Messiah. We have believed the truth. We believe that it's absolute, that it's completely revealed from God, and it's contained in His Word, and it lasts forever and ever, and it's as current today as it ever was, and it will always be current. And we have joined in one voice to sing praises to our God because we have accepted the truth. We have repented of our sins, and we have looked to Jesus Christ as our Messiah, as our Savior. And that is important for every single person here this morning, every person who is watching online. You must come to the point where you make a decision. You either accept the truth that is revealed in God through His Word, or you do what Pilate did here in verse 38. He avoids the truth. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And this was not like a personal question trying to understand. This was probably more of a sarcastic question or a very dismissive question, like, "What is truth? No one can define truth." That was his reaction. He was avoiding the truth. And many people avoid the truth. The scripture says that in Romans, that every person understands in their heart that there is a God. Now, they may suppress that truth. They may live and do everything that they can to put that thought away. And they can avoid the truth. And they can avoid the truth all their life. But it doesn't change the fact that there is truth. And we have to come to the point, each and every one of us, this is an individual decision. This decision can't be made by someone else. This decision can't be made by your parents. Every individual must wrestle with the truth that comes from God revealed in His Word. You either will, as that video said, you will crown Jesus king of your heart, or you will dismiss Him and you will avoid the truth. Pilate here, in this sad account, imagine someone being so close to the King of Kings. Jesus is standing right in front of him saying, "You have answered correctly. I am the King of Kings and I am the Lord of Lords." He's standing right there, the truth incarnate revealed before him. In his response, he dismissed him. It was from this point that Jesus was then taken to the cross, and he died on the cross for each and every one of us. The truth incarnate, Jesus said, "I came for this reason. I came to testify of the truth." And there will be some who hear. Some who will see the truth, and the blinders will come off, and they will actually accept, and they will hear. Everyone who is of the truth hears the voice of Jesus. But then there are those who will avoid and dismiss. My friend, this morning, the invitation goes out to you. Could this be the day where you stop avoiding what is real? Where you stop denying what your heart ultimately knows? That there is a God. And He created this beautiful world. And He created you. And even though you find yourself full of sin, your heart hardened because of your own choices, you can still turn to Him. His love never ceases. He loves you. As my brother in Christ said at 9 years of age, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." He loves you. Would you turn to Him? Would you acknowledge the fact that there is a set of truth claims and they are absolute, and they are revealed in God's own word. They are from his mouth. They are inspired by him, and therefore you can trust them. And when God says, it is only through my Son, and Jesus said, I have come because I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one will come back to the Creator, back to the Father, unless you come through Jesus. So stop avoiding the truth. Pilate went on, denied, forever separated from our God. That doesn't have to be your story. You can, this very day, repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. The spirit of Pilate is alive and active today. It's all around us. It's in the thousands of voices that we hear on a regular basis. It's in all of so much of the world in which we live. It's in our government. It's in our social media. It's in our schools. It's in even many religious institutions today. The denial of the person of Jesus Christ. That study of survey I mentioned earlier shows that most Americans reject any absolute boundaries regarding their morality. With a majority of 58% of adults surveyed, they believe instead that moral truth is up to the individual to decide. 58% of Americans, according to this study, believe that truth is up to them to decide. What a sad state in our country. And that number, as you go to places like Europe and beyond, that number just increases and increases. And Jesus said, the way to him is narrow, and few there be that find it. So you may find great solace in the fact that most of the people around you in your life, they agree with you. They agree that there is no truth, and they support your ideas that you can decide for your own. But that doesn't make it true. Truth is only found in the person of Jesus Christ. That is why he came. He fulfilled every part of the law in his life and his active obedience, and he went to the cross and he paid the penalty for your sin and mine, and he conquered death and he rose again and he lives forever and ever. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. What will you do with the truth? Most of us today, we rejoice in it. It's like good medicine to our souls as we are weary travelers. We're sojourners in this life, and we're just trying to make it day by day. We're on the treadmill of life, and we hear the gospel and the hope that is there, and our hearts say, yes, I believe that. Jesus is my Savior, and I'm going to see him again. And so these truths that we sing about and we hear about in the Word of God, they're like, just wonderful, wonderful thoughts and salve to the soul. But for the person who is still wrestling, you're still avoiding, you're still denying, would you turn to Jesus today? The scripture is very clear. You call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. It's just a simple choice. To speak to your Creator, acknowledging who you are, you're a sinner, in need of the grace of God that is given through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's not something I can do for you. It's not something the person who brought you this morning can do for you. You have to make the decision for yourself. And it's our prayer this morning, as we have come, God's people, to celebrate our wonderful Savior. It's our prayer that the truth of God will be lifted high and it will penetrate hearts, because we find it solely in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. It doesn't matter what all the voices say. It doesn't matter what your school tells you. It doesn't matter what your favorite politician tells you. It doesn't matter what your favorite person on social media, your movies, your music. There is one voice that matters, and that is the voice of truth, and that is found in Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He came in the form of a baby. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He went to the cross and paid the penalty for our sins, and Jesus rose again on the third day. Those are the truth claims that we believe and we will stand on and we will preach until we see him face to face. And may God use us as people who have been redeemed to go out into this world that is so confused, but we go out rooted and grounded in truth. And we have this wonderful gospel message to share about when our lives began. Romans chapter 6 says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. That's when our life began. We consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Alive in Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads this morning as we close? I just want to give opportunity for those here today who may be hearing the truth for the first time to respond to it. Maybe you've heard it before and you've never submitted to Jesus Christ. Today can be the day of salvation for you. Would you, in the quietness of this moment, just right there in your seat, pray to the Lord. There's no specific prayer that you need to pray. It's simply thoughts about what you've learned about yourself, that you are a sinner separated from God. And Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the way. Would you turn to him? To the Christian, rejoice. Rejoice, my brothers and sisters. Our Jesus conquered death, and he rose again, and he rules and reigns. And someday soon, we will be with him, and we will be able to sing praises to him forever and ever and ever. Worthy is the Lamb. God, thank you for the truth. Thank you that you have revealed your truth in the person of Jesus Christ, your Son, the Son that you loved so much that you gave for us. And he came to this world, and he came to testify of the truth. And all of us here this morning who hear the truth, meaning we really hear it and we accept it, we know your voice, God. And we are so thankful that we are rooted and grounded in Jesus. God, would you continue to work in our midst for perhaps those who still don't know you? Would you turn hearts for your glory? Turn hearts to you. May people today come to know you as their personal Savior. God, save souls for your glory, we ask. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for the hope that we have. God, would you use us for your glory to make an impact in this world that is so greatly confused? Thank you that we have the truth, and the truth always clarifies. In your holy and precious name I pray. Amen.